Comments made on the Serotalk Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotalk Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast, your portal to the accessible digital lifestyle.
www.serotalk.com.
A production of Serotalk Corporation, makers of System Access, the System Access Mobile Network, and SA2Go. Learn about new technology, cool software, useful websites, education, information, entertainment, user comments, and much more. And now, here's your host, Jamie Pauls.
Welcome to Serotalk Podcast 181 for December 9th, 2013. I'm Jamie Pauls.
I'm Ricky Enger.
And I'm Joe Steinkamp, hoping that this week will be much better in the cases of news and commentary of the week.
Well, NVDA users are happy because 2013.3 has been released. No more release candidates. It's out, man.
It's for real this time.
Yes. All of those fun protected Word documents and all that good stuff. Just go find them and read them.
They got great stuff in this update. And so does QRead, actually. If you are reading Bookshare books with QRead, now you don't have to worry about those page numbers, which is absolutely the most annoying thing ever. Stop telling me that I've just read a page. I don't want to know that. You can get QRead for the holidays if you haven't gotten it already, and you can get 10% off, actually. Check out with code HOLIDAYREADING. And you'll be able to get 10% off QRead if you don't have it already.
I went in on this update fun too. iBlink Radio for Android has also been updated, and you can find that in the Google Play Market Store thingy. Inside this version is stability and compatibility updates. So now it is going to work with a version 4.0 and up, which would be Ice Cream Sandwich and above. Mmm, delicious. And we also, when we originally wrote that app, it was going all the way back to version like 2.2.2.1.2.3. So yeah. For those of you getting a new Android device for the holidays, you can load iBlink Radio onto that. And more stuff to come with iBlink Radio in 2014. Shh, don't tell anyone. More stuff.
I would send Serotalk a letter thanking them for the iBlink Radio update, but I'm busy writing my letter to Santa.
Ooh,
telling
how
him
cool.
All the stuff I want.
I wish I'd been able to do this as a kid. I don't think it was available then, or if it was, my parents didn't know about it. But yeah. Now you can go in and write a letter to Santa, or you can do it on behalf of your child. And the NFB Jernigan Institute is going to assist with that. So their little helper elves are going to be sending back Braille letters from Santa, which is really great.
Well, I wonder if they'll be writing these letters in Unified English Braille just yet.
They probably aren't yet, at least not in the U.S., but we better get ready for this thing because it is happening. It has been adopted pretty much everywhere. And now it just remains for all of us to learn about the changes that have been made for UEB and how it differs from what we're used to. A lot of this actually looks cool because you can indicate underlines and italics and accented letters from various languages and bullets and things that weren't necessarily that easy to do before.
Right.
Now there's a standard for it. There is a Hadley seminar about what you need to know to get ready for UEB, and there are a couple of other resources in this article as well, so it's certainly worth checking out if you're curious, what is this UEB thing and should I be freaked out about it?
One of the best ways to learn Braille is to immerse yourself in it, just like another language. If you're going to France and you want to learn French, you might learn French over here, but you might find yourself using it a lot better and a lot more effectively when you're actually in France because you're immersed inside the language. The same thing can happen with Braille. You may find yourself actually wanting to learn Braille or needing to learn Braille or becoming a lot more familiar with Braille if you're totally immersed inside Braille. And in some places, they're actually doing Braille immersion camps and they're looking for help. Jamie, where can they go to find out some of that information?
Well, we actually have a link here in the show notes that just kind of talks about this all hands-on Braille immersion. Blind Mentor for a year, which is, I think is pretty cool as well, honestly. When I was a young person, I would have absolutely loved this. I can remember just, you know, really looking forward to any new books that I got and to be able to read Braille for a week.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been awesome.
I would have loved that. This particular camp that we have a link to in the show notes is the brainchild, I suppose, of Jeff Stark. And he has started the campaign to get funding for that. Their goal is to raise $40,000, and they're just about up to $6,000 now, I think. So if this is something that you would have loved to do as a kid, do help provide the opportunity for somebody else to experience that kind of thing. I think it would be a blast.
Well, you know, not everyone uses Braille, but accessible resources of all kinds are becoming so much more available. And it is so cool because one of the things in the holiday that a person really needs to worry about, learn about, are nutrition resources. And we have a link, thanks to Fred's Head, of several resources. My Plate, apparently some tactile graphics, something the Obama administration has done as far as kind of teaching, you know, what good, healthy eating habits are. Some games resources. So lots of ways. It really is possible to eat fairly healthy during the holidays. You're going to splurge a little bit, but you don't have to completely throw it all out the window.
It's probably possible not only to eat healthy during the holidays, but also to shop smart during the holidays. I don't know that I will have done this, but I at least need to be able to keep up with how much money I have spent and what is in the bank account. There are so many different ways to do this now. And we have a survey that is attempting to gather information about the accessibility of financial transactions for blind people. So it's looking at banking apps and websites and various other things. The survey is going to take about 30 minutes to do. They don't ask you, hey, provide your credit card number so we can check on these transactions that you're doing. They're not going to ask for any of that stuff. But if you do have some concerns about how easy it is to access online banking sites or to use the apps on your phone and various things like that, take the survey and let people know what you think.
Well, something else we might take a survey about is, what do blind people think about the new Kindle HDX? And we have an article here from the NFB. Amy Mason has written a blog post, actually. She played with the Kindle Fire for a while, and she has kind of some mixed feelings about it. I have some mixed feelings about the review, honestly. And I'm going to try to not be too unkind here, but I have some issues. The first one is that the title refers to the Kindle Fire HD. Now, all the recommendations I've heard is that really you need to get the HDX if you're going to use accessibility.
Totally different, so that, totally different words and totally different devices. You're up. Right. Keep going.
So that's part of it. Now, I get that there are some things that are more accessible than others. I think Buddy Brennan, who has one, his comment was, I don't hate it. Well, that's not exactly a ringing endorsement yet. But, talks about several things that worked for her and didn't work for her as well, and that's fine. The thing that bothered me, I think, the most was toward the end of the review where she basically, if I understand her right, or if I recall right, kind of puts Android in general in the category of not really usable by blind people yet.
I think that's very much an oversimplification, and it's something that you have to be incredibly careful about as a reviewer, because the idea is you're reviewing something and, you know, by definition, you're going to include your opinions about things. But if you say, and especially in a blog like this that's going to be looked at by parents and teachers and various and sundry people who make decisions for others about devices like this, in addition to just your general everyday user reading this kind of stuff, got to be careful. And I think those on that Android show would say, hey, wait a minute, this is not unusable.
Yeah, we have thousands of listeners who would feel a little different about that statement. And not only that, you have to take the platform for what it is. This is based on Android 4.2, which, now that Ricky and I have KitKat, is very different in 4.4 and is forked. You know, the way that Amazon is doing this is, in fact, adding their own gestures in a way and going in a different direction than what Google Accessibility is considering as the way to use TalkBack on a device. So you have to look at the device as its own, in its own platform, in its own ecosystem, and does it allow you to complete all the things you need it to do within the store? Because primarily, it's a content consumption device. It isn't trying to be an iPad. It isn't trying to be a Nexus. It isn't trying to be anything but other than the thing you access all this information with and buy more stuff for Amazon. And that's what I think is the problem.
Yeah, I think the ideal way to look at something like this, especially let's say, for example, that somebody was looking at using a Kindle Fire in education, and they will be, I'm sure. So the idea then is to have various cross-sections of students with different disabilities and look at what will they have to accomplish with this. For a blind person, it's going to be navigating not only by chapter and page number and the like, but also being able to read by line or spell a word and activate a word to look it up in the dictionary and things like that. So if you have a list of requirements or qualifications that have to be met with this device, then it's a lot easier to do, and I don't think this is what Amy intended at all, so I'm not slighting her for this, but what you could then do is say, here's this list of stuff, and here's whether the device can do it or not.
And we run into this a lot when doing these things. You know, one of the most common things that gets requested of SPN is, can you do more demonstrations? Can you do more tutorials? And the flat, hard, small answer is no, because the shelf life of those things are really, really, really small and infinitesimal. And it just changes so quickly, so fast that to put a lot of effort into this and then have it undone in an update, as what's happened to us over the last 2 years, is just really kind of disconcerting, because people are looking, like Ricky said, for this as a gold standard as whether I should get this or get that or not. So we chose more towards the commentary side of things and looking at that, because other people are doing some awesome demos themselves or doing some awesome resources or quick looks or deep dives, like Dr. Robert Carter, especially on apps and on Apple devices, and David Woodbridge, where we just don't have that ability to do so. But putting you in front of these so you can make up your decision and do some researching on your own from these other people, that's what we do, and that's how we kind of sort of look at it. But finding the audience, you know, this is why we choose the Nexus 7 as the primary device for talking about on that Android show, because we can feel very comfortable that the experience you're going to have relative to the moment that we record it is going to be the same across all those devices. I got requests from somebody this weekend about, you know, I'm looking at a Galaxy 4, S4, and I'm like, great. TouchWiz, totally different than stock Android, unless you're going to get it through the Google Play Store. Somebody asked me about low vision, if they should get the iPad mini. And I said, great. How do you feel about 4:3 versus high definition? Because the big iPad is high definition. The iPad mini has a tendency to do this 4:3 kind of thing because of the aspect ratio. And this person's into video, so I knew that would affect to them. Those are the kinds of things you have to put into perspective when looking at a device now. You have to think about what the audience is, what you're intending them to do it, and what the company had set out to do. Like in the case of the Amazon Kindle Fire, Kindle DX, let's get, you know, all of them.
Yeah, let's just get acronym.
Yeah, Paperwhite. Look at the line, look at what they're trying to do. I mean, in the Paperwhite, there is no audio, and that's not what that device is for. They've quite outly said, hey, this is for the best paper experience you can possibly get with e-ink.
Yeah, this is an e-ink thing, and that's all it is.
Put all that stuff together and then look to see what it's trying to accomplish, but trying to do an overarching thing. And of course, this has been time immemorial, right? I don't like the way any of this works. I want it to work like Vocalize does in DOS. I don't want this to work anyway, but I want it to be like JAWS in Windows. I'm going to compare JAWS against, you know, VoiceOver, even though they're two different operating systems and two different approaches with two different sets of audiences with two different ideas of how they're going to accomplish the same job. But I want it to be the exact same. Not going to happen.
I think also about, you know, the accessibility team at Amazon and the people who have been working on this kind of goes back to what Ricky said. Let's give them some constructive, positive feedback. Sure, we're going to have a list of improvements 10 miles long. And if you don't think that voiceover users on the Mac have a long list, you just need to join the Mac Visionaries list for a while.
Yes.
And you'll see a pretty good long list. And so there's always going to be that.
It's the difference between building it in from the ground up and then relying on Google to provide whatever it is to do what you're doing. You know, this time last year, we talked about and lamented that, you know, it seemed like the Fire, whatever version you wish to talk about this time last year, had some limitations to it, and that we were being kind of cattle shot down a little thing to use the iOS app only. And what we had speculated then, which came to pass, by the way, was that as Android updated, so would the next version of the Kindle, and it would use that. So to get the best version experience now, you need to wait another year, waiting to see if they adopt Android 4.3 or 4.4, because it has better embedded web views and some other things. As long as you're relying on the back of somebody else to do the heavy lifting and then coming in and putting your own overlay over it, which is very common in Android, this is what you're going to get. And so finding a polite way of saying that, that illuminates the reader, but doesn't necessarily run down the platform, because that's not fair. That's a little different, because they are two separate things and two separate audiences. And really, they should be two separate articles. Makes you want to break things, like break down barriers. And you can break all sorts of barriers. If you look at all the information that happened during the International Day of Disabilities that happened last week, lots of articles and links. And even our own buddy Brandon was on site at the United Nations interviewing individuals about the equipment that was actually just put there for people within the United Nations to be able to do things more accessibly. And we've got some audio coming up on SPN about that, so stay tuned. But this link here talks about some of the other things that had happened around the world in far as the International Day of Accessibility and People with Disabilities went. And again, not just us as blind people, low vision individuals, people with hearing loss, people with mobility, some amazing links about new wheelchairs and redesigning the wheelchair and rethinking what a wheelchair can be, alongside the article I read about somebody had come up with a case to put in a baby jumper for an iPad, which seemed very, very wrong. I don't think strollers should have iPads. Seems a bit much.
They're not drool resistant, as far as I know.
Not yet. Right. But screen dots. Yeah, there you go. See?
Oh.
Yeah. Okay.
Except you'd have to tell which ones are like cookie versus actual braille dots.
So when Buddy was in Times Square last week, I wonder if he was using Seeing Eye GPS to get around, because
I asked him. He said he was using a whole host of apps, and he's going to talk to Jamie about that when Jamie goes to sit down with him to talk about what it was like to travel independently in New York.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. I think he does have the Seeing Eye GPS app, so it probably made at least one appearance in New York in Times Square. And there is a pretty extensive review of Seeing Eye GPS done by Larry Lewis. And it was kind of cool, because Larry starts out by sort of giving a history lesson, in that back in the 90s, he meets up with Mike May at a convention. And Mike's like, hey, here's this big laptop and bunch of wires and stuff that we've put in a backpack, and now you go travel with that. And Larry's like, oh, this is a little too much like going to the gym. This is heavy. And yes, way back in the day. And then a few years later, he and Mike May meet up again. And this time, Mike is showing the Sendero offerings, I think, on the Braille note. Larry doesn't mention which note taker was being used, but I'm pretty sure it was the Braille note at that time. And Larry's thinking, yeah, well, I don't want my GPS solution to cost $6,000. And Mike reminds him, you know, we're kind of pioneers here. And while it isn't ideal for a GPS solution, plus a whole host of other things, to cost this much, keep in mind what we could do in the future. You know, give this concept a shot. And finally, Larry meets up with Mike again in 2012, I think, or 2013, rather. And this time, he's got Seeing Eye GPS on the iPhone, and Larry just kind of falls in love with it. You know, this is the ideal GPS solution, and it is subscription-based, where you pay per year or per 3 years. And initially, a lot of people were balking about the price of this, but having bought Navigon North America for something like $70 at the time. And there's TomTom GPS that's around $50 and that kind of thing. This doesn't seem like a really high price tag to me. So do check out the review. Larry goes through all sorts of things like points of interest and how does it handle doing all of the things that you want a GPS device to do.
We have another blog post here about accessibility, and in particular, accessible websites. E1, which is a company that's making a product called the Bradley. It's a watch. And Buddy Brennan visits with the developer of this watch, and you'll hear that interview in a future show as well. So you want to stick around for that. But apparently, Sina Brahm is working with a company, PAC, that is doing accessibility and talks about, in the past, accessible websites kind of were thought of as, okay, it has to be ugly. It has to be oversimplified, super simple in order for it to be accessible. And that is, in fact, not the case at all. A mainstream website can have accessibility built in and can be usable by screen readers. Great article.
It is a great article, especially when he talks about separating the content from the method of presenting that content. And he says he's actually the founder of PAC, and they do all sorts of stuff from Fortune 500 people to really small websites, and points out that you can go in and modify existing websites, but it's so much easier if you can just build this with accessibility in mind for everyone from the ground up.
And in this case, the website was not originally done with accessibility, so it is in process. It is coming, but yeah.
And Sina's been on our show. He's actually talked about the graphing calculator.
The graphing calculator. Yes, he has. Yeah.
So you can actually go back into the archives and catch that. And hold on. Wait. I think there's actually something new coming. Look out. It's the Wayback Machine.
And now it's time to look back at another greatish moment in Serotalk history. This week's topic, the 12 Days of Accessibility.
Hey, this is Jamie with Ricky and Joe here from the Serotalk podcast. And we're going to take a look back. We're going to look back at Serotalk podcast history.
It's the holidays. It seems like it's a good time to be able to do that. Some of the craziest stuff that we've done didn't always happen on April Fool's Day. No, actually, we've had to come up with some crazy things in the past, and some fall flat, but others just really skyrocket. And it seemed like the holidays was the appropriate time to talk about the story behind a certain audio that everybody tends to love to hear.
Yeah, this is actually pretty cool because this came about because of feedback from listeners about an article that we discussed in a podcast. And given that listeners fell so in love with the concept discussed in this article, we figured that we should feature said things in a song.
So here's Matt Campbell, our own programmer here at Serotech, who has an amazing angelic voice. And if you listen in headphones, you'll actually hear different sounds in each channel for the various players in this particular piece. This is one of those where Serotech Marketing just came up with something and threw it up in the air, and everybody just went crazy with it. A fantastic team effort. And of course, you know that if you want to hear more about Serotech itself, you can head on over to serotech.com and hear about our gift cards and all sorts of other fun stuff that we have going on during the holidays, including our trial period that has been extended to 14 days, or the ability to use that in all sorts of ways with the new self-installer. It's really, really neat. So definitely check that out, serotech.com. And now, take a listen to this audio history lesson.
So let's talk about some of the cool elements in this production, such
on
as...
On the third day of Christmas, a vision came to me. Three iPhones.
Singing. And how you made these things happen.
Wait. How I made these things happen?
Yes.
I did not make these things happen.
Yeah.
No.
You,
three iPhone.
We're singing as a result of your efforts.
No,
that's the thing.
No, because see, the thing is that is using gear that I don't have. So therefore, I can't be credited for that because it's not mine. I didn't do it.
No, you only have one iPhone. That's true.
No, I actually do have three iPhones, but they weren't singing.
Oh, that's right. No, but you do have them. So therefore, that leads
to more
credibility that you have.
Oh, well.
The three iPhones.
I didn't do it.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, I will confess, I did it. That's right. I did it. It's my fault.
Really?
Well, no. Actually, we'll blame Matt Campbell, who can pass it on to whoever wrote the lyrics. But we'll blame Matt.
Okay.
Because he doesn't get enough mentions on these things.
That's true.
So we'll blame him and get on with breaking this thing down. So how did the
three iPhones
end up singing? Well, if you're bored enough, look up a product called a TC Helicon VoiceWorks. Yeah, the VoiceWorks is a piece of equipment that hooks up to mixers and keyboards and mics and things. And you can play notes on your keyboard and things will come out singing those notes. That's one of the basic things it does. And it can also create some of the other voices you may have heard on SPN. And my one iPhones were made to say three iPhones at a very specific rate. In a note, said three iPhones. And then I played the notes and it sang.
Well, that's pretty awesome.
As for the
seven droids are talking.
Well, that dates that right there. You don't hear droids saying like that no more.
No.
Where did that accent come from? I didn't quite want to do that.
The talking? I don't know. Maybe it came from that. I think you inherited Pico or whatever that thing was. Well, that was and probably still is a very publicly available voice. And so it was just a matter of making screen reader of choice say seven droids are talking and playing the notes that make the voice works. Make it say
seven droids are talking.
And then they were seven droids a-singing.
In my personal view, it sounds cooler that way than the actual talky bit where it says things.
I think
things.
So, too.
That's just my personal opinion.
Sadly, yes. Yeah. The deck talk, introducing everybody at the beginning. Well, that's typical. That has to happen in all these singing things productions.
Not singing, though, which is pretty cool, actually.
No, I made sure that it didn't.
That's the very, very cool. I appreciate that. Because then they would really think it was me.
Which actually means that I should have really considered making it sing, even if I had to fake. But it just spoke. And it came from System Access, because that was the most convenient deck talk to me, and so it was therefore.
Oh, there you
there,
go.
As a result.
Yeah.
The crowd that reacted to the announcements was actually from a college concert I recorded. And it was just things that were going on during the concert that I took and played clips of and supplies them together to make an audience that has no idea this stuff happened interact.
And, well, I actually did have a very small part to play in this whole thing. After they did the 12 Days of Accessibility thing, the initial one, they said, oh, let's turn this into a promo. And I made the voice spot for it, and yeah, I even made Deck Talk sing. Just don't tell anybody. It's okay. You don't need to know, really.
Now, what about the music? It would have sort of sounded weird if the music didn't exist.
It would kind of sound a little bit strange if the music wasn't, if the music was particularly realistic sounding. I mean, these are robot guide dogs. They got to be slightly
electronic. Right, so they had to have sort of robotic sounding music. Now, our friend who goes by the name Arfi, who can be followed on Twitter by said name, made this from some instruments he has. And it, like Matt's vocal, is sort of forced to conform to a tempo, and it jumps around like the robotic guide dogs did when they were conducting. And that, plus the promo, will consist of what you will hear later.
Indeed.
Ladies, gentlemen, and those like myself who can sound as if they were either persuasion.
And yeah, let's just think about it.
Anyways, welcome one and all to what should be an amazing performance of an upgraded Christmas carol, specifically, the 12 Accessible Days of Christmas, performed by Sarah Tech's own, Matt Campbell, with the Robotic Guide Dog Orchestra. To start us off, and no, you don't have to press a key to continue or anything like that. You just gotta show our cute and clunky robotic puppies some love as they make it out on stage.
Accessibility. On the second day of Christmas, a vision came to me. Two iBlink apps and the gift of accessibility.
On the third day of Christmas, a vision came to me.
3 iPhone,
2 iBlink apps, and the gift of accessibility. On the 4th day of Christmas, a vision came to me. 4 webinars,
3 iPhone,
2 iBlink apps, and the gift of accessibility. On the 5th day of Christmas, a vision came to me. 5 podcast feeds, 4 webinars,
3 iPhones,
2 iBlink apps, and the gift of accessibility. On the 6th day of Christmas, a vision came to me. 6 scanners scanning, 5 podcast feeds, 4 webinars, 3 iPhones, 2 iBlink apps, and the gift of accessibility.
On the 7th day of Christmas, a vision came to me. 7 droids and talking,
6 scanners scanning, 5 podcast feeds, 4 webinars, 3 iPhones, 2 iBlink apps, and the gift of accessibility. On the 8th day of Christmas, a vision came to me. 8 techies fixing, 7 droids and talking, 6 scanners scanning, 5 podcast feeds, 4 webinars, 3 iPhones, 2 iBlink apps, and the gift of accessibility. On the 9th day of Christmas, a vision came to me. 9 trainers training, 8 techies fixing, 7 droids are talking, 6 scanners scanning, 5 podcast feeds, 4 webinars, 3 iPhones, 2 iBlink apps, and the gift of accessibility. On the 10th day of Christmas, a vision came to me. 10 gamers gaming, 9 trainers training, 8 techies fixing, 7 droids are talking, 6 scanners scanning, 5 podcast feeds, 4 webinars,
3 iPhones,
2 iBlink apps, and the gift of accessibility. On the 11th day of Christmas, a vision came to me. 11 music choices, 10 gamers gaming, 9 trainers training, 8 techies fixing,
7 droids are talking,
6 scanners scanning, 5 podcast feeds, 4 webinars,
3 iPhones,
2 iBlink apps, and the gift of accessibility. On the 12th day of Christmas, a vision came to me. 12 real-speak voices, 11 music choices, 10 gamers gaming, 9 trainers training, 8 techies fixing, 7 droids are talking, 6 scanners scanning, 5 podcast feeds, 4 webinars, 3 iPhones, 2 iBlink apps, and the gift of accessibility.
There they go, leaving a trail on the floor again of all sorts of fluids and things.
Who's going to clean that up, by the way?
Mailbag.
Oh,
as usual.
Okay. What's a actually
I designate him
black and yellow robot fur there too to sweep up
it,
so.
Or what have you. Yeah, but that's a classic, and it's always good to get that out there, and it was neat to do that, and it was neat to write that, and it's even better to get Matt out there to do that too, and I think Matt's actually going to be in our SamNet Christmas concert, which I think
yes,
is also
he is.
Super cool, because he sings Jonathan Coulton
yeah,
songs.
If you're a Jonathan Coulton fan, you definitely don't want to miss
Matt. He's seen him live. I envy him. That is awesome. I also envy all of you, because you spent tons and tons of money on Black Friday and Cyber Monday in the various days there are when it didn't involve people getting beaten up at Walmart. Mm-hmm. And over 1.7 billion dollars spent on the various deals. I did my little thing where I watched this year to see if there were better Black Friday deals than on Cyber Monday. It seemed again like this year, if you didn't do Friday, you got a better deal on Cyber Monday. What do you guys think?
I did do all my shopping on Friday this time because I was afraid that what I wanted was going to go away. And that did actually happen in one case by the time I was going to order it. And I managed to find something equivalent pretty quickly. But I did all my stuff on Friday and then I just didn't even watch on Monday because I didn't want to be depressed. Like, oh, I could have gotten it for that.
I think it's interesting that all this stuff keeps getting stretched. So Friday turns into Thursday and then
Christmas
Monday.
Christmas decorations go up around Labor Day.
Yeah.
Halloween just never seemed to happen and people were working Thanksgiving. You're absolutely right. I'm full of the Christmas Grinch. I mean, spirit. Sorry, spirit.
So then Cyber Monday turns into what, Ricky?
Giving Tuesday. So this, I don't know how I feel about this because I really obviously love the idea of people donating to their favorite charities and various other things because Christmas is about giving and it's about supporting, you know, the people that you care about in one fashion or another, whether that's your friends and family or a cause that you want to support. But it just seems weird that it's coming right after Grafted. Cyber Monday. It's like, yeah. Here you go.
No. Jamie was right. Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday, and now Giving Tuesday. It's the entire holiday
calendar. It is totally
calendar.
Crafted. It just makes me shudder a little bit because it's like, okay, look, you've spent all this money and
you will know
punched
when it's
a bunch
crafted
of people
when you
at,
get your
at,
Hallmark
at
Giving Tuesday card.
Yes.
Giving on Tuesday is just like, I had 3 cents left over after all the shopping I cared about. So here, that comes to you. That's how this strikes me. It really does.
Amazon is taking my leftover gift card money and converting it into things. So sure, why not? Yeah. Oh, good grief.
Well, if you do shop on Amazon Smile and Kickstarter, I think, did some of this too, where they would match some funds on that day and all of that. So even if you don't directly decide, okay, I'm doing this for this particular thing, there are corporations that are giving on your behalf.
Well, Apple was hoping that the holidays would be good to them, and apparently they have been. The stock is at the highest since in 2012. $566.32.
Really strange article to come out this time of year. Almost as crazy as somebody recommending things fly to your house during Christmas. Oh, wait. I'm sorry.
That happened. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I think it's a neat Giving Tuesday when Carl Icahn is going to come on and say, hey, you know what? I want that proxy thing anyway. Let's go ahead and have that big battle about buying more shares back. Even though I thought we kind of settled that with Tim and all about a month or so ago, but I guess not. Nope. Carl's decided to get himself back in the news again about being a investor with all sorts of things. So some of this also drove the stock price up. Just in comparison, Microsoft and Google. Google, about the time of this recording, is like 1,068 on the stock exchange, and Microsoft is down around 38, seeing a high off of the Xbox One launch. Netflix, just out of curiosity, is in the 360s. So if you need any idea that none of this matters and makes any sense, as Buddy often says, that might help. So
you only have to care about it if you've invested. So, you know.
And full disclosure, I don't own any stock, but just barely like 6 shares of AT&T, which has seen like Lucent and then not Lucent and then turned, I don't even know anymore. It's like it sits there and it laughs at me because I'm not going to do that. That's craziness. I can tell you what also is crazy. People trying to go after Apple in weird ads because the halo effect is in effect big time because, you know, people just don't want to hear that. And some really didn't respond very well to when Microsoft did the anti-Google campaign, the Scroogled campaign, which they were actually selling coffee mugs and t-shirts with the Scroogled kind of logo going on there. But having a guy sound like Johnny Ive, or a British voice in particular, talk about the great points of the iPad, then coming in behind it and pointing out all the greater points of the Amazon Kindle is kind of weird. And I've seen this ad. When I saw this ad the very first time before we had it linked here in the show notes, I thought it was very interesting because I was starting to see Twitter buzz about it. But even though this ad does point out some very good talking points against the iPad Air, I just don't think that works against Apple. I don't think you can come at Apple in a negative fashion and come away unscathed because there's such a willingness to not think about it and such a love for the brand that I don't think it works. So even if you come after it and say, look, the Kindle HDX is cheaper than the iPad Air and it has a better picture than the iPad Air and it's lighter than the iPad Air, it's not the iPad Air. That's why people
are
buying it.
That may be true, but it almost doesn't matter. And it really feels desperate on the part of Amazon. Even if I were a person watching it and didn't know a lot about the two tablets, I'm going to go with the one that has shiny dancing electronics or people and not the one going, here's why that other thing sucks and mine is better.
Samsung made a better splash by making fun of iPhone users than making fun of the iPhone itself, right? Because there was, I'm holding this place in line. Here comes mom and dad to get in line for their iPhones. Remember that? That kind of stereotypical iPhone, you know, mentality, that it seems like it's better because you're going after the user as opposed to the company itself. You know, the worst thing that Apple's done advertising-wise, they killed very quickly. Remember Mr. Genius got on the plane and it was a genius emergency and all of that. Apple killed that off really quick. And so this year, Apple is back to what it does, which is it's got that ooh la 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 commercial for the gold phone. And even though people, when they finally get it, doesn't look all that gold, but you were still interested in it. I mean, the concept won you over. And all the other, you know, where they use a big name song to push the iPhone or to get really famous actors to read lines like they do with Bryan Cranston to do for the iPad. You know, Apple's back to what they do and people aren't thinking about whether they made a misstep or not. So it's just one of those things where you have to let something run its course. And right now, people just don't want to hear anything different.
You could buy either of these things online, whether you choose an iPad or a Kindle or something else altogether. But you may want to have some tips for safe online shopping when you do that. Some of these, well, most of them really are pretty common sense, but it's still well worth the read. It turns out, interestingly enough, and I'd never thought of it in exactly this way before, but shopping on a mobile device can be safer than shopping directly online because they point out that, well, if they're going to hack something, they would have to hack each app for all of these major retailers on whichever platform you're looking at. Whereas if you're just on the PC and you're not using an app built specifically for it, or if you're just in Safari and you're shopping from that browser on your mobile device, that would be the same as doing this on the PC. But again, if you're inside an app, could be a little safer. Also, watch out to make sure that the site is securely transmitting your info and your browser is going to tell you all that happy stuff. And you can often be a little safer shopping with a credit card as opposed to a debit card because sometimes you get warranties by your credit card or some protection in terms of refunds. Plus, it's not tied directly to your bank account. So if something bad happens, you can figure out that dispute without having all the money in your bank account go away suddenly.
There you go, hackers. 10 tips on how to go and get all that other stuff you don't have already, right? No, Siri. You know, and then you actually go to a point of sale system and have your credit card skimmed.
See, that's just it. I've always thought that the safe online shopping thing, you have to be smart about it. But the idea that it's more dangerous than point of sale doesn't make sense to me because you've got humans right there taking your card. And especially in a restaurant, you hope you get it back and you hope somebody didn't write down your credit card numbers because they've had it in their hand.
Or I'm going to pay gas for my friend to drive me to the store so I can get all my holiday shopping done, and they scanned the card and had a credit card skimmer on the gas pump, and that wasn't your fault. Or, I mean, there's a lot of talk right now, in fact, about the antiquated system of the credit cards and the four bands and all of that. And I've listened to Hack 5 and a couple of others talk about that, but part of the reason why we're seeing so much more driving towards mobile commerce is to kind of give us more protection. Now, you play that into the background of, do you trust one of these companies to then have control of your mobile score? Let's just for fun say Apple. With iBeacons, you know, Apple already has some of your credit card information. Apple already has some of your, you know, ideas about where you go, what you shop, your browsing history, where your phone goes now with location with iBeacons, and are now going to push you things when you're in store. Hey, we saw you came to the Apple store. Thanks for coming by. Do you know if you buy this accessory right now? Blah, 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 blah. There are some people on this debate that say, that is awesome. I can't wait. You should know everything I'm doing because I might get 5 cents off at Starbucks. So there's that philosophy. Then there are people like me who grew up working at Radio Shack and had people want to beat them up for asking for their address to buy a battery. It's weird how all of this has changed in just a short period of time. And generationally, some people are more worried about security than others.
Yeah. Well, you know, while you guys were talking, I just got a news flash. People don't realize that we have roving reporters here at SPN, cyber sleuths, we call them, who just scour the net for stories. And we ask them to look for one person, just one person using a BlackBerry. And we found one.
No.
One person. It is President Obama. Yes, that's right. He's using a BlackBerry. And it's secure because no one else is using one. So.
That's about right. But somebody pretty high
security
profile.
Security through obscurity. Woohoo!
Oh, yeah.
The Mac way of doing things pays off.
You've got to wonder if BlackBerry's going to somehow use that in ad marketing and stuff. And, if it's good enough for Obama, it's good enough. And then all the Republicans say, no way.
A reason for Republicans to just stop using BlackBerry, I guess that would be it. Jeez. That is kind of funny, sad, and then you put that in that the Pentagon is actually stepping away from BlackBerry. Was a report like a month or so ago. Wow.
Yeah.
Just so it's Alicia Keys. And who else was the spokesperson for BlackBerry? I can barely remember. Neil Gaiman did some
was
stuff for
really?
BlackBerry.
Oh, that's
yes,
funny.
He did. He wrote like some original story thing, and that was one of their, you know, artists use BlackBerry. And then they should have gone after Ryan Seacrest, who spent like $1 million of his own money to create an iPhone keyboard because he couldn't give up a keyboard on his iPhone.
Wow.
Think is hysterical. That story's been going around a little bit. What I think is people cling to technology some, and then they desperately want to mix and match and shove apps together to do something that they think would work. Like, you know, because my iPhone or Android phone can do X, it could do Y. Why can't it do Y? Molly Wood asks this all the time. Why can't computers just know? And then imagine if you were not a fan, you know, because for some reason we seem to be tribalism on brands and the way we feel about things, you know, blank company versus blank company. Well, what if you don't want a Google car? What if you wanted to use an iCar? Well, I don't know. Here's some audio that will at least help you understand of what it would be like if you used Stiri.
We've all heard about the Google driverless car, but here at Apple, as usual, we've gone one step further, using the technology already in the palm of your hand. By downloading Stiri onto your iPhone, it allows you to control any car that you get into. Stiri automatically communicates with the different computer components of your car's engine and steering system. It's simply that easy. If your car has computer parts in it, Stiri will take it over.
Driving system engaged. Hello.
All you have to do is use simple voice commands telling Stiri what to do. Never before has the driver had quite so much control.
Stiri, let's go.
Ignition sequence activated.
Stiri, drive 25 miles an hour.
Approaching 25 meters per second.
Okay, all right, let's slow down. Slow down, stop.
The steering column. All of the pedals are permanently deactivated.
The wheel doesn't work. The wheel...
Please let go.
Stop.
Once Stiri takes over your car, something magical happens.
Oh my God, I'm in an intersection.
Turning left.
Stop.
Indicate
stop,
deceleration.
Stop. I don't know what that means.
Stiri is the answer to the question, when can I drive my car with my phone?
Turn right now.
When?
Turn right. Go right. Go right. I'm hitting the brakes.
Avoiding pedestrian.
You just went through an intersection, Stiri.
Thanks.
You just went through a stop sign.
You've already seen what Stiri can do for your phone. Now see what Stiri can do for your car.
No, turn right. Now there's a wall.
Stiri. We took Stiri and we added a T. And actually, we changed the I to two E's. And then we decided what the application would be.
Where are you taking me?
Searching the web for where are you taking me?
I want it. I want it right now.
You really want that? I'm not sure about your insurance rates.
But they'll fix it. Apple will fix this.
You should talk to your wife right now about your insurance rates before you start. Because you ain't paying for those, and I'm just saying, she might feel a little differently about that. And
good point.
Yeah, well, she wasn't steery. The only news that came out of technology this week, Ricky?
No.
Oh, yeah. We talked about this a little bit last week. Jeff Bezos with his brilliant ideas, and, some people are a little bit leery about the Amazon drone, but Mr. Bezos understands this, and he actually has recorded a little piece to talk about some of the concerns people have with Amazon drone, and he alleviates my fears anyway. Take a listen.
Hello, my name is Jeff Bezos, founder of Amazon.com. I'd like to apologize for how worried everyone's become since we announced we'll be using aerial drones for deliveries. I recognize having a swarm of robots buzzing through the air at all times of day might be a cause for concern, so here's what we're going to do about it. First, we're going to dress the drones like bees. Not only will this keep people from wanting to play with them, it will also make the constant buzzing noise you hear seem a little more natural. Second, your home address and the contents of your delivery will remain strictly confidential. What you order and where you live will be between you and God and the drone.
Let go of my chonies!
Third, we promise to respect the environment. We realize, of course, birds already exist, so the drones will not be programmed to cage fight them for territory. Some of those birds are bitches. What we're doing is much bigger than just buying a few small helicopters. We're building an entire network of drones in the sky, something we're calling Skynet. The advantages of Skynet are immense. By putting location and decision-making power in the hands of our robotic allies, we'll increase efficiency dramatically. This will be good for you and for us. I want to make sure we're still a strong company when my nephew takes over someday. Isn't that right, John? Just make sure you don't rename it from Amazon to Connor.com. And one more thing. For those truly worried about this technology, we're announcing our opt-out program where you can ensure no drones ever drop off merchandise at your house. If you opt out, all your packages will be delivered by US mail, UPS, or Fed 209.
Doodaloo, doodaloo, doo.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to wait till it's like regular to have stuff delivered by drone, and then I'm going to order a drone. And then when the drone drops it off, it's going to be like, what am I doing here? And I'll be like, you're giving birth. It's beautiful.
See? Skynet. Everything is fine.
I feel a little worse. I'm not sure I feel good about that, but I,
No, sure you do. Skynet. Everything's fine.
Yeah. I, for one, welcome our new
drone overlords.
Yeah.
Bee-like overlords.
Yes.
Actually, insect overlords, yes.
We totally thought about birds. No, we didn't. How dare you rain on my parade with logic? It's just not cool. Coming up after the break, we're going to find out about why Ricky has some stuff on her iPad that she wasn't prepared for. Jamie's going to open up a record store and all that and more in the mailbag on Saratalk 181.
There's hundreds of fun and simple things you and your family can do to live a healthier lifestyle. Here's 20 of them. Eat less, eat slower, eat smarter, eat your fruits and veggies, stop eating before you're full, up your fiber, lower your calories, get off the bus early, do some gardening, do jumping jacks, take the stairs, take one, not two, take on a new sport, take a long walk home, walk instead of drive, bend, stretch, reach for the stars, climb the monkey bars, skip the fudge bars. Search We Can online to find more ways you and your family can get healthy together. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
Mailbag.
I report.
Mailbag.
Email.
The mailbag.
Everything else.
The mailbag.
Ah, mailbag, you're all decked out in Christmassy.
Festive.
Uh-oh, I see.
What?
I see a little bit of black or yellow robot dog, guide dog fur clinging to the mailbag.
I see a reindeer dropping, too.
Oh. Yeah, they've been hanging out.
And here I thought it was Rudolph the red-nosed, wait, sorry, that's inappropriate. Rudolph the colored blind green, no, wait. Rudolph the blue-nosed reindeer. Wait, that probably doesn't work either. Rudolph the yellow-nosed reindeer. Yeah, that's probably color blind performance.
Rudolph the noisy-nosed reindeer?
Strobe light.
Then you're, Yeah.
Rudolph the strobe-nosed reindeer. There. Mailbag hangs out with some interesting people.
That it does. And Mailbag brings us mail from some interesting people as well. We're going to start out with an iReport from Ahmed in Australia.
Hello, this is Ahmed from Melbourne, Australia, submitting another iReport. Just commenting on podcast number 174 and the assistive technology versus mainstream technology. I think everyone's free to use what they want, I guess, you know, and I think these days the mainstream technology, you know, note takers sometimes have their place, but particularly JAWS. There's even no payment plan for JAWS, so it makes it a bit hard for individuals to purchase if you're an individual. I believe GW Micro has a payment plan, so I guess at the end of the day, there's no need to use the word ghetto. I think just people just use whatever works for them. The other thing I wanted to comment on is the TapTapC saga, as I come to call it. I think I think people are overreacting. I think people need to eat, and these guys need to eat. So I think the price is not outrageous, and I think it's very, very reasonable for something that gives you great independence. Okay, that's all for now. Love the podcast. You guys take care. Bye.
Thanks for that. And some really great points, actually. I always find it interesting when people are kind of going through the podcast catch-up process. I've seen a couple of people do this fairly recently where they'll post, I'm listening to 174 or 172, and then you see them go through, and here we are, 173, it's just 74, outing.
Hi, Wayne Merritt. Hi, Wayne. How you
yes.
doing?
Hi, Wayne.
He's not the only one, but he's the one that
he's
I like
the
to
one that
on.
Posts about it,
yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah, I know Wayne.
And,
he's cool.
Ahmed was doing the same thing and just commenting on some things that had happened then and after.
Well, we actually got a couple of other people who wrote in and touched on this, and I actually retweeted this from TripleClick Home feed not too long ago, twitter.com/TripleClickHome. The prices of iPhones around the world and how we tend to forget sometimes as Americans that we're one of the only countries that does kind of this subsidized phony thing, and that sometimes they cost a truckload of money to get an iPhone in another country. And again, we take this for granted, and that's why it's very important to consider the price of one of these things and when some of these things get voted off the island through deprecation by whoever, whether it be Apple, Microsoft, Google. We're a little bit more consumption-driven and don't think about what one of these devices means and or costs to those outside the United States.
Absolutely. Next up, we've got a comment from Martin Kuhn. He headed over to the blog and made a comment. You can do that, too. You'll find us at saratalk.com, which is, of course, the place to get all the lovely show notes in addition to the episode that you're listening to. Martin asks if we're going to produce a holiday podcast with gift ideas similar to what we did last year. He likes that we had a mixture of blindness and mainstream products. You know, Martin, that's actually a really good idea. My suggestion would be that you stay tuned to what we're doing over at saratalk.com, and we'll see if we can make something happen for you.
Psst, Jamie.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go create a podcast real quick. I think Ricky's trying to insinuate something.
I think we can do that in just pretty short order.
I think we got volunteered for something, but don't say anything to Ricky. I think we're okay if we just...
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Last up, we've got an email from Janine Stanley, and in this episode, we talked a lot about robot guide dogs, and last week, we were talking about dogs barking jingle bells and all that fun stuff. Janine wanted to comment on that, and she says, I don't know if you all have heard the music from Veronica Elsie. She is a blind musician who has made several CDs of music using the voices of her various guide dogs.
Dude.
She's literally a master at sampling such sounds, and these are very complex melodies and harmonies. It's not dogs singing jingle bells, so very interesting stuff. I would agree.
I would have played these check this out at a booth now. At convention. just to see what happens.
See what all the guides do.
Yeah, just to see what happens. Or somebody go, hey, dude, I know that guy.
Yeah. That's in my Fluffy. Litter. Now we know Fluffy is, in fact, okay.
Oh, there was this. I do love puppy razors and schools with humor. There was actually a litter that was named after Seinfeld characters. So I met Jerry and Cosmo, and I met Elaine.
Nice.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome. Somewhere out there is probably a litter of Friends characters.
Yeah, no doubt. Phoebe, forward. Ross, hop up. Come on, Chandler. Ross.
I love it, dude. That's just awesome. Until the Game of Thrones characters come around.
Oh, yeah. Well, you don't want to do that because...
some of them don't stay just, around. So that might be a very bad namesake.
That's a bad thing to do. Better to do Doctor Who companions. And you could be, you can have Rose and Martha and Amy. Yeah. And yeah.
That would work.
Come along, Pond. Pond, forward.
That's right. Especially if it was husband and wife and they could have Rory and Amy.
Nice. I like it.
See? There you go.
And if you're interested in more of this banter, check out EOL Show at EOLshow.com.
Didn't even have to poker prod him. That was awesome. Nope.
That was just so easy.
One of these days we'll do another episode and that'll get all of this out of near roundabout. I don't know when, but eventually.
Yeah.
No, you'll always do it in roundabout. It's just part of who you are and what you do.
It happens so effortlessly.
He outed us on the lie. He outed us. That was beautiful. Hey, it could be time for something else, though.
Well, yeah, something else is coming up very soon. But before that happens, resources at sarotalk.com is how you get a hold of us. The Blab Line, 866-997-2522. And... Sarotalk.com, leave a comment on the blog, as Ricky said. It's time now for Roundabout.
Roundabout.
So what happens if you buy a brand new iPad and you take it home and you hook it up and wait, there's stuff already on it?
Bonus.
That would be a Woo-hoo! Little scary. No, I... Oh, no.
Ricky was just saying it's safer to do things on a mobile device and now, woohoo, I could actually... oh, no, I don't know the Apple... ID password, but boy, if I can crack that. Sweet.
Facebook pictures?
Oh, I hadn't even thought about hooking that up to iTunes and browsing. Yikes.
So the speculation is this could have been a demo unit that this woman brought home from Target. Or it could have actually belonged to someone. I don't think we really know the answer to that question. And I don't think we ever really will.
No, we probably will not. But I'm leaning toward this wasn't demo data. Right. And I say that because there were a bunch of pictures on the device that, appeared real, legitimate. So either somebody
paid... Those were just the selfies.
There you go. Either somebody paid somebody to license these pictures or you clicked the I agree button and the company was able to use pictures that you posted somewhere and you might end up on a demo device somewhere. But it just the type of data that was here, a calendar, sure, you could do you could have demo data for a calendar, but it's the pictures and the songs and things in the apps that concern me a little.
If you
does Apple have
returns, you're supposed to turn this on and verify that it didn't work correctly. And you're supposed to note back to the vendor what the issue was and how it needs to be repaired and or refurbished. And it's meant to be that way. Not saying that possibly it didn't or didn't happen, but this sounds a little bit like somebody in the returns department. Because this happened all the time, actually. We used to... If you look at Microsoft Xboxes, Nintendo systems, and things like that, there's a little cardboard cutout window there. That's so you can look in and see that there's an actual Xbox or something inside because Nintendo used to get boxes back from vendors that said, this doesn't work. And they would open it up and find Acme Brick. Where the Nintendo
used to be. That happened to somebody in Canada. When he returned an iPad or he got an iPad and it had clay in it. It was That's basically right. like a clay brick. And yeah. this guy spent a little time in jail because they were like, oh, no, you're trying to do fraud. And, you know, this had a real iPad and they did not believe
the returns
him.
Department not doing what the returns department are supposed to do. And that's bad on the actual returns department because you're supposed to verify and open all that. Having trained people on having to do that, I kind of sort of know that that may be what happened there in a good percentage. But what I will say is that that is a perfect ad for something like Gazelle or other services because they wipe that stuff, whether you did or didn't, they wipe it before they do that. And they have a good reputation for making sure that that data doesn't necessarily get out to other individuals. So that there's a perfect reason to look into services like Gazelle. And I think Amazon does
absolutely.
It too. And Apple does a trade-in program too. Mm-hmm. So if you felt comfortable putting it on there in the first place, giving it back to Apple, that feels a little better than I returned it back to Target within its 30 days. And surprise!
Yes.
Hmm. I'll bet something you haven't returned in a while, Joe, is a vinyl LP.
Dude.
It's been a long time.
I am so loving this vinyl resurgence thing and that people are putting out albums of and just remixes of nothing but vinyl. And it is really, really killer to see that there are people who are loving true, delicious, wonderful analog audio. And I have still 1,100 titles sitting behind me in one of my closets over here that I collected. In fact, some are still in shrink wrap because I didn't get to play them on the radio back when I was a young child and we put these big plastic things on spinning things and drop the needle on it. Yeah, so I have a lot of those. I would go crazy. And as a low vision person, I'd actually recognize album covers again because it was easier to see a big 12-inch
record.
Yeah,
I guess they were big, weren't they?
Five-inch little. What picture is that? I don't even know what that is. It's a good thing I know it's over in the Nirvana section. So they don't become abstract paintings. And there are people who actually still collect not necessarily the vinyl, but the actual album covers for the art. There is an actual aftermarket for album covers and liner notes and things like that. So there's a lot to be respected by that. But, you know, I wish I could just open up a store or go to a place that had nothing but that.
Funny
Somebody
you would mention that.
Did.
Yep, in New York.
New York City.
A nice record store, man. A big one. And lots of state-of-the-art equipment to listen to stuff. And
why did we let Buddy go? I could have. Oh, wait.
See, had you known that, you could have gone and played around in the new big old.
I wouldn't have captured any audio from the UN, sadly, but yes.
No, but you would have had these really high quality headphones to listen to stuff on. They do sell CDs and vinyl in this store, but they have, instead of the really cheap, stupid plastic headphones that they always have at the listening stations, they got a really high quality set for each one. And they're also doing cool stuff. And this makes a lot of sense to me, where they will get live bands into this venue that can hold up to 250 people, I think. So neat little gig for a band. And the idea, I guess, is, hey, you come in, hear the band. Now you're thinking about music and that's what drew you here. And look, there are all these things around you that you could actually purchase.
People build humidors and have wine stored in a certain way at a certain angle in a certain elevation at a certain temperature underground like a temple. Then, dude, there's nothing wrong with this because I unlike those things, I like audio and I receive and enjoy good audio. I used to work with $100,000 home theater systems and have to explain to people why there was a difference as opposed to I'm going to get this Bose system or I'm going to get this Apple Hi-Fi. And no, there really is a lot to audio and how it's presented and represented and speaker placement. There's a science to it. And so, yeah, I adore it. And as I told Ricky, there's a scene in The Big Bang Theory where they're standing around a big map of movie theaters and trying to decide which one to go to, and they have a criteria
Sheldon's
based on
doing
audio.
Acoustic testing.
Yes, I'm sad enough to admit I've done that. But I was the same way with audio. You know, there were certain record stores in Houston that I could go to that was an audiophile's dream. And if you really care about that kind of stuff, and there are people who care about, you know, all sorts of crazy things. This to me sounds like an awesome place to be able to go. And New York seems like the place you would go to subsidize that, because you've got a lot of international tourism and it's a very large city and people would come from miles around for other things, but also drop by and drop some money on this. I love this.
Very cool.
Yes. And as much as you love vinyl, you do understand that it's a little bit old school, and probably someday you're going to be seeing vinyl in a museum. You probably
a demonstration
have.
Of audio formats, and there was the cassette next to the vinyl, next to the cylinder from like the Edison days with a gramophone. And I was like, I don't think three of these things aren't like the others. Three of these things are not the same.
Usually, though, they put this kind of thing behind glass, so you might not have even been able to experience it. And that's just kind of the unfortunate thing about museums. But there's a museum in Pennsylvania that is changing this, and this is the coolest thing ever. Yeah. I remember being dragged to museums on field trips, Girl Scout outings, even with family sometimes. And it was the worst thing ever, because even when you have somebody to describe something to you, I think I'd far rather read a book, because the description, they're always going to leave something out. And everybody's like, ooh, ah, look at that, look at that. Oh, this is so neat. And
now let's take another 30 paces going, where you'll hear all that again and not know glass. What the heck they were talking about.
Yes. And,
as you can see.
No, I can't.
That's the problem.
And I remember going to Joe, you probably know about the Llano Estacado Museum, don't you, being a Texan?
Where?
Okay, maybe not, because that's in the panhandle, so you might not care. But that was one of
the... We'll go to Natural Bridge Caverns, which is just as dangerous in a mobility challenge. So, because well, it's not like blind people going down into a hole in the ground. It's a possibility of fun.
Oh, I've been to Carlsbad Caverns. That was fun. But in the Llano Estacado Museum, they have these different things set up that are kind of like... showing what it was like to be a Native American in a particular period. And so that was the only museum I ever liked, because I didn't get to touch anything really, but I could smell things like, oh, that smells like naturally cured leather, where they were showing the moccasins or whatever. And that was the only thing about this museum that I could even pay attention to, because the rest of it you couldn't touch.
Some of the Alamo stuff is pretty accessible. So
yeah, I haven't been to that.
Yeah.
But in this Pennsylvania museum, it's in Philadelphia, and they are actually encouraging people to touch the real objects. In some cases, they have some Egyptian things that are obviously thousands of years old, but they've determined that if you have clean hands and you use a light touch, it's going to be okay for you to touch these objects without having them degrade. So they actually switch the exhibits every now and again. So it's not just, you know, here, we've chosen these three things that blind people can touch forevermore and hope you enjoyed it. If you ever come back again, we have these same three things. No,
exactly.
They're switching it out.
Sorry. Did you forget? Here they are again.
Well, I want to pet a dinosaur.
Yes.
That should be a poem. We should
sounds
write
like
that.
Sounds like a song.
Ooh, we should. I
it does sound like a song.
Pet a dinosaur.
I want to ride my bicycle. I want to pet my dinosaur.
I want to pet my pet a dinosaur. Yeah.
I can't come up with the second lyric.
I can't either. I'm trying to.
I keep hearing Freddie Mercury in my head, get around it, but I can't bring it to the
rest
of it.
Yeah, well, all those dinosaur names, you can't fit that in like two syllables, so that's a problem.
Stegosaurus or... Oh, somebody will. Somebody will let us know if they can make Screen Locked in a great mailbag single.
That's right.
Which somebody has actually written on Twitter that they can't get the mailbag theme out of their heads, which I think is just awesome.
that was sorry, Snow Sprite Girl, except we're actually not sorry. We're kind of
no, we're not.
Was the,
happy
was
about
the plan
that.
Nefarious? Yes, like big giant drones of yellow and black were just out there hovering with ideas
looking like
waiting
bees.
For you.
Well, speaking of plans, I think it's time that we make an exit and do it quickly before we turn into another EOL episode on the end of Sarotalk, which would be really, really long. I'm just saying.
It'd be fun for us, but not necessarily for all of you.
Yeah.
It's like a day at work for us.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Again, resources at sarotalk.com. Leave an iReport on iBlink Radio or your Android device. Call the Blab Line 866-997-2522 or leave a blog comment over at sarotalk.com. Appreciate you listening. Stick around. We've got more stuff coming up in the next few weeks that you're really going to enjoy. Until next time, have a great week, everybody.
Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Sarotalk. Visit us at www.sarotalk.com. Send us an email at resources@sarotalk.com. Send us an iReport with iBlink Radio, available in the Apple App Store and the Android market. Or leave a voicemail at 866-997-BLAB. That's 2522. We may read your email or play your voicemail in the next podcast. Join us next week as we explore all that life and the internet have to offer. Until then, may you have an accessible digital life.